Amen. So if you're there with me in 1 Kings chapter 3, we'll start in verse 1. And it says, "And Solomon made an affinity with Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, and took Pharaoh's daughter and brought her into the city of David until he made an end of building his own house and the house of the Lord and the walls of Jerusalem round about. Only the people sacrificed in high places because there was no house built unto the name of the Lord until those days. And Solomon loved the Lord and walked in his statutes and walked in the statutes of David, his father. Only he sacrificed and burnt incense in high places. And the king went to Gibeon and sacrificed there, for that was the great high place. 1,000 burnt offerings did Solomon offer upon that altar. In Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon a dream by night, and God asked, 'What shall I give thee?' And Solomon said, 'Thou hast shown unto thy servant David, my father, great mercies according as he walked before thee in truth and in righteousness and in uprightness of heart with thee. And thou hast kept for him this great kindness that thou hast given him a son to sit in the throne as it is this day. And now, O Lord, my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David, my father, and I am but a little child. I know not how to go out or come in, and thy servant is in the midst of thy people, which thou hast chosen, a great people that cannot be numbered nor counted for multitude. Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this thy so great a people?' And the speech pleased the Lord, and Solomon had asked this thing. And God said unto him, 'Because thou hast asked this thing, and hast not asked for thyself for long life, neither hast asked for riches for thyself, nor hast asked the life of thine enemies, but asked for thyself understanding to discern judgment. Behold, I have done according to thy word. Lo, I have given thee a wise and understanding heart, so that there were none like thee before thee, neither after thee shall any arise like unto thee. And I have also given thee that which thou hast not asked, both riches and honor, so that there shall not be any among the kings unto thee all thy days.'" Amen. And it says, you know what? Let me read from verse 14. "And if thou wilt walk in my ways to keep my statutes and my commandments as thy father David did walk, then I will lengthen thy days." Amen. So we see here Solomon is now coming into the throne of Israel. And as we know the story, this is not something, new, not something mind-blowing. But one of the things that got my attention as I was searching the scriptures, and I've been actually in this chapter for a while, except I was under the other verses from 16 to 28. But as I started reading and I started looking at the whole chapter, this made more sense to me, because Solomon is coming into the throne. And he's taking the people of Israel, and he will be taking the people of Israel to new heights, unlike Israel has ever seen before. And God has revealed himself in a dream to Solomon, and it's like what he said. One of the things that got me is that his speech pleased the Lord, because he didn't ask for anything other than for wisdom to understand and to judge the people of God. And I know you would think somebody as young as he, he shouldn't have this type of, whereabouts to ask for these things. He should be asking for way more, right? We look at our kids today. I'll tell you what, my son will not be asking for wisdom on how to discern and judge anything. He'd be asking for a whole lot more different things, And that's why I say, it's not always because I am old and gray-headed, which I am, that I can say I acquire knowledge or wisdom, but it is in what I have learned and what I've dove into, some of the experiences, not only mine, but to those around me. For example, there's an older gentleman in this church that I appreciate so much. I won't mention names, but he's an older gentleman, and he has said so many things to me that has spoken into my life to be as a better father. Not having one, I can try to do everything that I can, and I tell you the truth, I fail because I don't know what I'm doing as a father. you know, but I can glean on some of these experiences that the older men in this church have laid upon me. For whatever reason, God has put that in their heart, and I get to learn and I get to use those experiences, not mine, but their experiences, to then become a more wise father, a more wise husband, even a more wise Christian, you know. But it all starts with, what do you want? If God, again, was to ask you, what do you want tonight? What are we really going to be asking him for? I think the greatest thing that we could ever ask for, starting from tonight or any situation in our lives, is to ask God to give us an understanding heart, to discern the things that are before us. Why do I say that? Because I know none of us here are going to be sitting upon a throne, at least anytime soon. You know, that'll be on the other side of heaven. We'll sit on some thrones. But this side of heaven, we're not going to be sitting on any thrones. I don't at least perceive that. So why do we need wisdom? Well, we need wisdom and understanding heart, because if you go out outside of the walls of this church and you go to Emmaus, you go to Allentown, Harlem, Philadelphia, anywhere you go, you ask people about Jesus, and there is a misconception of who Jesus Christ is. And it's easy for them to sound very religious, and it's easy for people to say, oh, I know who Jesus is. Me and Jesus have, you know, the nice term, an understanding, you know, but they don't know who Jesus Christ really is, you know. So we need an understanding heart, especially if they sound religious, and we want to verify and try to see if they need genuine salvation or just growth in their lives. We need an understanding heart. You know, like I said before, as parents, you know, I'll speak for myself. I need to have an understanding heart. You know, I'm a very hard person, you know, sometimes to deal with. That's a lot of times to deal with, you know, and I need an understanding heart on how to relate to people around me. You know, I need an understanding heart as to discern what is God's will for my life. Why am I standing here? Why are you guys listening to me? All of these things that we have, all these questions, and I could say, asking God to use us or to use me in any area of our lives for his glory, you know, takes a starting point of asking God to give us an understanding heart. Like I said before in one message, God can ask me to be a plumber and I want to be a preacher, and I can be out of the will of God and have no understanding of what the will of God is. And vice versa, I can be called to preach as I am here tonight, and I want to be a mechanic or a plumber or a baseball player and totally be outside of the will of God, you know, and not find success. I mean, Solomon, for the most part in his life, until, you know, women got a hold of him and started turning him away from God, those were not saved women. You guys are all saved women who keep your men in line with Christ. But, you know, in the Bible, you know, and up until that point, Solomon, again, one of the greatest kings that Israel has ever seen, one of the wisest men. I mean, it is 2021. And if you guys raise your hand, how many of you guys read the book of Proverbs? Raise your hand. How many of you guys glean information from the book of Proverbs? Raise your hand. You know, still. And it was written how long ago? And we still glean from the things that he says, you know, and that's what wisdom does. Wisdom surpasses time. Wisdom surpasses even experiences that we have, you know, or lack of experiences. The wisdom surpasses all of that. And it comes from asking, when God asks of you, what do you want? We should always ask to have wisdom and a discerning heart, to discern his will for my life, to discern what steps we should take. You know, it's not just to say, now, I know that doesn't happen here, but you hear many people say, you know, I've been praying and God wants me to do this. And it's not God wanting you to do anything. It's you wanting to do that, using God as a crutch to get what you want to get done. You know, glad that it doesn't happen here, but that is a truth that does happen. We need to ask God's wisdom. How many times, family, have we had a decision to make? And we waited on God, fully waited on God. How many times had God asked us to do something, and we, instead of looking at ourselves, and instead of looking at my resources, instead of looking at what I have available to me, I just waited and trusted in God. How many times have we really done that? I'll tell you what, Brother Matt, I'll use you for example. I am not Brother Matt Spangenberg, you know? He has a craft. You know, and he has a set of skills that I don't have fully. So when something happens at my house, you know, for example, one time a piece of the boiler broke and water's coming out everywhere. And I'm like, all right, what am I going to do? Instead of pulling the little bit of hair I got left out, I actually took a second and I said, Lord, could you give me the spirit of the wisdom that you gave Matt so that I can get this problem solved? That was my honest to God prayer. And I said, Lord, I need you to help me. I need wisdom of that nature to get the problem solved. And I'm not going to lie to you. I solved the problem all by myself. I told Matt later on that I did it, you know, and I solved the problem all by myself. But then again, a small little copper pipe broke in my house and I didn't ask God for wisdom or guidance and I botched it. I botched it. And I had to ask for help. We had to have somebody come in and fix it for me, because instead of going into the wisdom and asking God to give me wisdom, I said, I got it. I got it. And a lot of times we say, I got this, I don't need you, Lord, and we botch what we do. And we don't have the success that we all should be having as Christians, because we're leaning not on God's understanding, but on our own. Right. And I think Solomon did say, lean not on your own understanding, in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct thy path. You know, I think Solomon understood that, and that's why he said it. You know, so tonight, again, if God was to ask you, what do you want? Do you want a new car? You know, do you want a Chevy Camaro, you know, Z06? Do you want something other than that? I don't know that you would, why you would, but would you want something other than that? You know, are you asking for a bag of money to be waiting for you at your front door? You know, are you asking for the New York Yankees to call you to play shortstop? You know, why would you pick another team, right? But all of these things, you know, we can sit there and begin to think and wonder, man, if God asked me for what I wanted, am I looking at God like this genie in a bottle that I'm going to rub and then get, poof, I get three wishes? Or am I going to ask God, as Solomon did, to have wisdom and understanding heart? We're living in a time, family, where what is good is bad. Like, the word of God really is fulfilling itself. What's good is bad, and what's bad is good. Are we asking God for wisdom to understand the times and to judge the times and to judge the situations of our lives for us to have success? Success is not how much I have in the bank. Success is not how much people know who I am. Success is not how eloquent I can speak. Or success is not a number of things. Success is putting my faith and my trust solely on God. There was a man by the name of George Mueller who just prayed, right? All he did was pray and trust God, and things happened. And here we go, walking all through this world, doing things our own way and trying to get it done the way I need to get it done because I know better, and we fail. What do you want tonight from God? I'm not sure what's going on in your life. You know, I'm not sure what are the circumstances that are in front of you, even right now. But God is asking you, what do you want? How are you going to deal with these circumstances? What do you want from God? I hope that tonight we can start asking God for an understanding heart to judge his will in every aspect of our lives. If you would, get your fingers nimble and come with me to the book of Proverbs. Again, I'm not going to give you guys anything that's nothing new, but just want to go there for a second. Proverbs chapter 1. For those of us here that lack knowledge, wisdom, and understanding, for those of us here that are struggling with how do we get it, or you're questioning, Adam, that sounds well and good, how do you get it? Let's hear a word from our sponsor here, from God, in the book of Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7. It says, familiar verse, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. So we see here that God is saying to fear him is where it all begins. It doesn't need a master's degree. You don't need a doctorate. You don't need anything but just fear of the Lord to begin to experience wisdom and knowledge in your lives. But it says here too, you know, and this is what I love about Solomon. He gives you both sides of the coin. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. God uses our wives for us men here tonight as our sanctifying tool. How many times have we done things as men, you know, especially like driving? I am one. I got to confess a secret sin. I don't like asking for directions. You know, I don't like stopping and say, hey, how do I get to this place? I think I should know how to get there. And Alex will tell you, I normally don't know how to get anywhere, you know? And that is something, right? I'm relying on my understanding of a map or of a place, and usually never works out that way. Thank God for WASI and you know, all these tools that we have to get directions correctly. If you would also go with me to the book of Genesis. Let's go to the beginning of the Bible, chapter 4. Very familiar passage. As you're turning there, God gave Eve and Adam two boys, Cain and Abel. And in the process, and I love this, because we read the Bible, and as we read the Bible, and I learned this with the men at my Sunday school table, we read the Bible, and we think these are events happening one after the other, and they're really not, you know? And it says in verse 3, and in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought the firstlings of his flock and the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and his offerings, but unto Cain and to his offerings he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. So before I continue reading, just as you know, people can make up all the different things that was going on, and we don't have a lot of specifics here, but it is, to my understanding, that God had established already something that he wanted done. And Abel used that same wisdom of God to give God exactly what he was asking for. Cain understood, right? He had the knowledge, but didn't have the wisdom to give God what he wanted, and he brought him fruits, and that wasn't what God wanted. And God had respect unto Cain, but did not have respect unto Abel, but did not have respect unto Cain. And then verse 6, and the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth? And why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, thou shalt not be accepted. And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. So you see, you can have knowledge, but no wisdom. You can have the same thing when it comes to Christ and to the Word of God. We can have I can know all the verses of the Bible. I can know every inch of the Word of God and have no power in my life based on it because I have the knowledge but not the wisdom of God to apply these truths in our lives. And a lot of times, I don't want to assume anything, but I fail in my walk with God because I have all of the book knowledge but don't have the wisdom to apply that, which is why I thank God for men in my life that help me understand the Word of God and help me to see his truth for my life. And we see that Solomon is asking for that. And one of the beautiful things that we see here is that as Solomon is asking for wisdom and his sincerity, he saw the life of his father. You know, he saw the works that his father was doing and the stories of it, because he wouldn't have seen all of it, but he would have heard and understood the stories of what his father accomplished. And he wanted to serve God within that same parameter. He wanted to have, it says there, he wanted to be upright like his father was. And he loved the Lord as his father loved the Lord. And as he's asking for wisdom, the Bible says that it pleased God. How many times when we pray and we're putting our petitions to God, and we have to be honest, do we understand or we see that God is pleased with what we're asking? You know, how many times have we asked God for something and you feel like God is pleased with you, but you don't get a response to your answer, so was God really pleased with you and what you asked? You know, why do I say that? I'm glad you ask. If we can go back to the book of James. James chapter 4. Again, nothing brand new here, but James chapter 4, verse 3. Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lust. So you see, a lot of times we ask not in wisdom and in an understanding heart, but we ask out of pride and we ask out of a lust. Why? Because we want to consume it in our lust. You know, it's like me asking, Lord, I need more money. I need more money. Adam, why do you need more money? oh, because I need this, or I want to get that, or, you know, I need this and that. And instead of asking God for more money or for a raise in my job or for a promotion or for something, why can I not start by asking God, God, show me how to better manage what you've already given me? And how can I take what I already have and have a discerning heart with that and use it for your glory? So obviously, as you can hear, I have to ask God for wisdom, because asking for more money is only going to fuel whatever lust I have, you know, which is why I don't have the shiny black Corvette. Amen. But then we look here, and as God is talking to Solomon in this dream, it says that God was pleased. Again, God was pleased with what he asked. And then God says, I am pleased with what you said, so I'm going to give you what you wanted. Now, I like the way it's stated there. Let me go back here. And it says here, and God said, because thou, in verse 11, because, and God said unto him, because thou hast asked this thing, and hast not asked for thyself for long life, neither had thou asked riches for thyself, nor have asked for the life of thine enemies, but had asked thyself for an understanding to discern judgment. Behold, I have done according to thy words. Lo, I have given thee a wise and understanding heart. So how long did Solomon have to wait for a wise and understanding heart from God? It was there. It was there. The request pleased God, and God gave it right away. If we're asking God for wisdom in anything that we're asking for, in anything that we're seeking to do, and we're doing it under the same premise of asking God for wisdom, should you be waiting very long for an answer? I leave that up to us as individuals and God. But according to his word, when our requests please God, he gives it. He gives it to us. Why? Because it's going to be for his glory. It's going to be for his glory. And then as I was reading this and then jumping into the second half of the chapter, which is one of my favorite second halves of a chapter in the Bible, you know, it shows that wisdom is not something that he just obtained. Wisdom was something that he was able to use. You know, so wisdom is not just something that you continue to have. Like I like to say, I don't like to read the word of God, and I don't challenge people to read the word of God. I don't like to pray and challenge people to pray just because I want people to know that we read the word of God and we pray. Because for me, and this is my analogy, so apologize for the type of analogy, but I don't want to be a spiritual gluttonous person, you know, where all I'm doing is intaking, and expanding, and I'm already expanding, but expanding and expanding, you know. I want to exercise this prayer life that I have in faith and walking in God. I want to exercise the script, the time in the word of God by how it reflects and how I live and how I decide to do things according to God's principles. Amen. Solomon asked for wisdom. He got it right away. And then all of a sudden, verse 16, he wakes up from his dream. He gets ready. All of a sudden, verse 16, these two harlot ladies come before him, you know. And one night, both had children, both had a child, one, and both were sleeping with the child. One dies because the mom slept on top of it. You know, it must have been a really rough night. And then the baby dies. They go before Solomon, and now they're fighting for the life of this child. How? This story boggles my mind, because how do we get to a point to understand who's who and what is what? You know, if it was up to me, I'd say, let's just give the child up for some adoption agency, and both of you just got to get out of my hair. But Solomon didn't do that. Why? Because Solomon had asked God for wisdom and an understanding heart to judge the people. So when the verse comes in, he received it. But now how does he apply it? Right into action. These two harlots come before him. And Solomon, as you all know, says, can somebody get me a sword? And when you think about this, if you're putting yourself in real time, there's a child that is dead, one that's alive, two fighting women, and Solomon is asking for a sword. Right? What's going on? What's going on? And then, as you know, Solomon says, you know what? Let's take this child, slice them in half. You take one half, you take the other. You know, every other weekend you can switch halves. And then everybody goes home happy. And the Bible says, that the bowels of the one, the true mother, yearn and say, you know what? Just let her have it. Just let her have it. Imagine that. Telling someone, I'm just going to cut your child in half and each one take a piece, you know, that was going to showcase who the real mother was. That's not how I would have done it, right? But God giving Solomon wisdom was able to discern and says, you know what? There's the mom. Give her the child. Again, do we exhibit that type of wisdom in our lives at all at all situations? I'm not saying that we're supposed to be perfect, because we're not, but we're supposed to be always leaning on God and His understanding, leaning on God and His wisdom, because excuse me for the word, but I am stupid. I don't know what I'm doing. But God knows. And if we come to God with that understanding and we come to God with that mindset that I have to lean on Him, the Bible says He will direct my path. Amen. Success to the world, it's about notoriety, it's about numbers, it's about this, it's about that. Notoriety in God is trusting in Him with all your heart. David trusted in God. Solomon trusted in God. Abraham, I love Abraham. He trusted in God. And God says, you're going to have a son. You know, you're going to have that seed that's going to make you a father of nations. He waited a long time for his son to be born. And when he had his son, the promise was one son. But he understood God's promises. And he didn't lean. Well, he kind of did, right? He leaned on his own understanding here and there and made some mistakes. But the promise, he was true to holding God accountable to his promises. And he was successful at being the father of many nations because he trusted God. He trusted, and I love what the word of God says, you know, that Sarah was past the time of having children. So she was barren and then past the time of having children. That's like two strikes against you. We're playing baseball. And yet God showcased by trusting in him, he showcased that he is able to do that. So tonight again, if God is asking you tonight, what do you want? What do you want? What do you want from him? What is it that is pressing in our minds and in our hearts and in our lives? What is going on right now in your mind, in your heart, that God is going to be asking you, what do you want to do about it? We can say, I need this. I need you to get me out of this mess. You know, I need you to help me get out of this mess or get away from this person or that situation? Or should we say, God, I need an understanding heart to discern how to handle this matter? Amen? And that's what God does. He shows up every single time when we ask him according to his will. God is not this old little grandfather type sitting in heaven just looking to throw a quarter at you, you know, like my grandfather used to do, throw a quarter at you, there, go get yourself something at the store. You know, he's not this whole like Santa Claus type of thing. He's not a genie in a bottle. He's all wise, all powerful, all knowing. And yet, when we ask in wisdom and when we ask understanding his will for our lives, we have success. You know, so tonight again, what do you want? What do you want? What are you looking for? What's going on in your life? What? All these things that are happening, what are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about it? What do you want from God? God is asking of you, according to his word, like Hebrews says, we have such a great cloud of witnesses in his word, and Solomon is one of them, to ask God tonight for an understanding heart. To discern the things that God has put before us. The parable that Jesus gave, he gave talents to three guys, 10, 5, and 1. Guy with 10 talents goes, multiplies them, comes back and says, Lord, you gave me 10, here you go, another 10. You gave me this, here goes another one. But the one that had no understanding and no wisdom says he took the one, hit it, and then when the master of the house comes back, he pulls it out and says, Master, here's what you gave me, because I know you're shrewd. I know what you're doing. you know, you work hard, so I want to just give you back. And he says, wow, you're so foolish. You're so foolish. You should have been wise. Even put it in a bank, you know, get me some interest, something, because you know the type of person I am. And yet we, so many times like that, with that person in the parable with the one talent, are just hoarding and hiding. Why? Because we think that we know better. And we're afraid to suffer loss. Or we're afraid of this. Or we're afraid of that. We shouldn't be afraid of anything. Because if God is giving and God is doing, then he's the one that's going to deal with the consequences. If we do it according to truth and wisdom. So again, tonight, what do you want from God? If tonight you go to bed, I don't really believe in dreams, but if tonight you go to bed and you get a dream or a vision or something and God is like, what do you want? What do you want? What do you want? Situations in your life, what are you going to do about it? The things that are pressing in your heart and in your mind, what are you going to do about it? Are you going to trust God and ask for his discerning spirit to judge what's going on in your life? Or are you just going to go gung-ho and do whatever needs to be done? It's up to us. But God is willing. God is ready. God is able. And we forget that. We forget that God is able to do exceedingly above what we ask. Solomon is living proof. He's like, God, I need wisdom and I need to understand. Because in all honesty, Solomon was coming into some cash. He was coming into some wealth. You know, he wasn't starting from nothing. He inherited a lot of things. And he said, I just need wisdom and understanding. And God says, well, because I like what you said and it's true, this is what you need, I'm going to give you way more and above, exceedingly, abundantly, to the point that there's never been a man on earth as wise as Solomon. What do you want from God? What are we going to do with what God has given us? That is a question on the table tonight. And I ask that we all consider, you know, I'm speaking out of this passage, because this is where I'm at right now in my life. You know, I'm not just talking to express the word of God to you all and to just tell you this is what you need to do. I'm living this right now. I'm living this right now. I have to ask God for wisdom in everything I do, because the enemy is looking for opportunities to veer us off to the left, to the right. Doesn't matter. It could be 1 degree off to the left and I'm out of God's will. I need a discerning heart, and I need to know God's will, and I need to understand the fullness of his will. And I hope that tonight we ask God to give us an understanding heart to discern his will. What will I do tomorrow? It's up to God. I'm just going to follow him and do what he asked. I hope that from tonight on, for the rest of this week, as the rest of the week goes by, that you're asking God for the same thing. Whenever a situation happens, it doesn't matter what it is. You see, a lot of times we want to ask God for the big things, right? Like my boiler broke, that's when I want to ask God for the big things. But when my son has a question or my son is, you know, needing something, I can't ask God for wisdom for that. You know, when I know what to do with my car when it breaks down, I don't need God for that. When I'm trying to balance the checkbooks, like who has checkbooks anymore? But when we're trying to balance the checkbooks, like I don't need God's wisdom for that, you know? When we're going to look at this, the income that we get and the bills that are in front of us, it's like, should I not tithe because I need to pay this off? Should I ask God for wisdom for that? Is he not able? Is he not able? I believe he is, because I have testimony in scripture and testimony within our church body of God being more than able. Amen. And more than capable. So tonight, what do you want from God?